much, and it's really nice to have an interdisciplinary PhD involved in the research colloquium. Well, I have to say, just at the beginning, actually I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but I want to say something about how nice it's been to be here at this school, and what a privilege it is to be asked to talk about research among a galaxy of great researchers in this school and in this university. I have to say that, as some of you know, I was not born in Nova Scotia. I was taken to Nova Scotia by my parents, who were both from Nova Scotia, when I was about a year old. So my early childhood was spent there. And my father died when I was six, and I guess probably in the second grade. You know how they pushed you along in those days. And my mother was left with four children and the mother's allowance in Canada. And however, undaunted, and of course this was towards the end of the Depression, but she was very ambitious for her children. But anyway, it was kind of a nice thing. Here I am at the end of my career, and I was invited back to teach and to be a professor. And my brother, who has his chemical engineering degree from McGill and got his PhD in chemical engineering at the age of 79, at Louisiana State University, was so excited about all this that he sent notices to the Acadia Bulletin, to the Yarmouth Light. I said, John, nobody in Yarmouth, I left when I was in the ninth grade, knows who I am, or, you know, well, I do have two or three friends left from YCANT. But, I have to tell you that it is really a great privilege to be here, and also not just for the research symposium, but because the class I have, some of them are here, I have a wonderful class of new leaders that are coming into the profession. They are articulate, they are critical of my methods, no. But I mean, they say what they think, and they say it in a marvelous way. And so I have a very good feeling about their futures. Now I will get to my message. Leadership and emotional intelligence and library school graduates. Why am I concerned about library school graduates and leadership? It really goes back a long way. As you heard, I've been dean at, I spent over 20 years as a dean in different library schools. The last one was just a post-retirement kind of fixer-upper kind of thing, but the other two were pretty lengthy. And one of the things that happened was, being in administration, I wasn't doing all that much research, so the students were coming into my office a lot, and they were also calling me after they graduated. And I'd be in my office, I'd be pacing and thinking about deanly things. The phone would ring, it would be a former student. And after catching up just for a minute, we'd get to the crux of the matter, and it would turn out perhaps that they were having a problem in their job. And what I found was that the problem almost never related to, they weren't calling to complain about what they had learned in library school, but they were having a problem with their supervisor, with their one of their colleagues, or with people that they were supposed to supervise. And so the problem was not in the content of what they hadn't learned. In fact, librarians are very good. They're lifelong learners. If they need to learn something, they find a course. They find it. But it was in their interpersonal relationships. And it's probably not necessary to describe to you why this is important. LIS literature is rife with, particularly starting in the 90s, with articles deploring the graying of the profession and the apparent lack of new leaders able or willing or desiring to move into the empty shoes. Now, I suspect that every generation worries about the next generation of leaders in their profession coming along. So it's not uncommon. But we in the library and information profession must be concerned about the potential of graduates to have successful careers and the ability to assume positions of leadership and take on the roles that will strengthen this profession in very crucial changing times and enable it to move forward. So that's kind of the statement of the problem. And in fact, our schools do have this concern. If you look at the mission and goals of the accredited library schools in Canada and the United States, you will find that most of them have goals like this. Like this: to prepare individuals for positions of responsibility and leadership. That happens to be the second goal of SLIS here at the U of A. But it is in most mission statements of library schools in one form or another. For many conversations with deans and faculty, and even a query that I put on the ELISE listserv a couple of years ago, I am reasonably sure that relatively few schools put their students through a curriculum or a systematic leadership session that includes the known predictive behaviors for leadership. In fact, in a sample of 361 Canadian librarians who had recently entered the profession, only 20% felt that their MLIS degree provided adequate leadership skills to perform their jobs. Now, this was a study done in 2005 by Ingalls, DeLong, Humphrey, Sivak, Sorensen, and DePuter. It was the future of human resources in Canadian libraries. This study is cited in the dissertation proposal of Mary Jo Romanuk for Queensland University. And she is investigating how leadership development programs given a few years after graduation affect participants' self-efficacy or self-confidence and what program elements contribute to this change. And what are these known predictive behaviors? Well, of course, leadership is being endlessly studied, and new definitions are coming up all the time. But currently, these behaviors include self-awareness, which is relatively new. A big emphasis on knowing your strengths, knowing who you are, to help develop that self-confidence. Ability to deal with and resolve conflict. These aren't in order necessarily. Ability to adapt to change. Change is a big trauma for many in our field and other similar fields. Ability to understand group dynamics, how groups work, and ability to apply these concepts in working in teams. Now, more and more of that is happening now in library schools. Knowledge, of course, of leadership theories and management functions, also offered in most schools, but not necessarily required in all schools. Interpersonal skills, listening, empathy, and very really part of that, emotional intelligence. And this is a relatively new theory. It's still being endlessly researched. And I want to talk just a little bit about it because I think it holds a lot of promise for the LIS profession. Recent research, and not just for our profession, for every profession, and it's also being adopted by many elementary and secondary school programs, inserted into the curriculum. I noticed there's some good books on it over there in the Coutts Library. Recent research provides documentation that intelligence, IQ, is somewhat of a minor factor in achieving leadership status. Of course, a relatively high level of intelligence is necessary to even enter a profession, need an advanced degree, and so on. But once one is in a profession, factors other than cognitive skills appear to be more important. For example, in the 50s, PhDs in science at Berkeley were extensively interviewed, took a battery of tests on personality and IQ, and so on. Years later, when they were in their 70s, their success was evaluated in terms of resumes, peer evaluation, and sources like Who's Who, Men and Women of Science, and so on. This study found that social and emotional abilities were 4 times more important than IQ in determining professional success and recognition. Then there was another study done in Somerville, a suburb of Boston, where it was a 40-year longitudinal study, 450 boys. Two-thirds of the boys were from welfare families. One-third had IQs below 90. The study found that it was the ability of the boys in childhood to handle frustration, control emotions, and get along with people that predicted their success in later life. Now, we need a definition here of emotional intelligence. Whoops, that's not it. Okay, emotional intelligence. The capacity to perceive and regulate emotions, first of all, in oneself, as well as others, Or another definition, building relationships and using emotions wisely. Reading people and being aware of one's own emotions. The best-selling book, Primal Leadership, by Daniel Goleman and others, outlines four domains of emotional intelligence: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. All four domains, says Goleman, are not innate talents, but learned abilities. This is key. And as I said earlier, the elementary and secondary school systems are incorporating some of these concepts into their curriculum. Just one more word about effective interpersonal skills or emotional intelligence. This does not mean that a person needs to be social and outgoing. But it means when you sit down with someone who is relying on you, you are able to empathically communicate with them around their challenges, not yours. Figure out how to help them with their conflicts so that they can do their job better than they thought they could. That's not Goldman, that's me. Now, there has been a lot of research in emotional intelligence, and I just listed some of them so you can see where it's coming from. Really, Robert Thorndike in the 30s coined the term social intelligence. David Wechsler in the 40s talked about the capacity of the individual to deal with his environment. And in 1943, he predicted that, which wouldn't be a surprise to most people, non-intellectual abilities are essential for success in life. And then Howard Gardner, multiple intelligence is as important as intelligence measured by IQ tests. And of course, they're still working on IQ tests. They know that they're not really what they ought to be in terms of measuring IQ. And then there was Leadership Studies Research Center at Ohio State, who went so far as to say, leaders who are able to establish mutual trust, respect, and a certain warmth and rapport will be more effective. They developed an assessment center, including non-cognitive as well as cognitive abilities, first used with AT&T, the company, in 1956. And then in 1990, Mayer and Salovey coined the term emotional intelligence and described it as an ability to monitor one's own and others' feelings and emotions, to discriminate among them, and to use this information to guide one's feeling and action. And then, as so often happens, Daniel Goleman, who had been a science writer for the New York Times, but had worked with McClellan, the management guru at Harvard, became aware of Mayer's work and wrote first an article for the Harvard Business Review. And then he wrote the book, Emotional Intelligence, followed by many articles and many books. And now he runs a research center at Rutgers University, and you can find him on YouTube if you want to listen to a little lecture. But anyway, so that's kind of the history of it, and there are people out there working very hard to disprove the work, the early work, Mayer's work, and so on, and others working equally hard to show that it has validity. So that's where it is. Now, I have